This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Noel Lim. Due to the pandemic, many small businesses are struggling, especially those in retail, such as used car dealers, and in services such as hairdressers. Many may not qualify for bank loans and have to find alternative sources of funding. One way to raise money is from the public, like you and I, through Fundestic, one of the largest peer-to-peer platforms in Malaysia in terms of number of issuers. Since the start of its operations 3 years ago to mid this year, Fundestic has disbursed more than 80 million ringgit to nearly 1,200 issuers. We speak with its acting CEO, Kelvin Fu, to find out more. Thank you for joining us today. So what's been the impact of COVID-19 on the P2P industry?
In the first quarter of 2020, there was about 17% growth in terms of the amount disbursed and 13% growth in terms of the number of unique SMEs served. However, during the second quarter, growth dropped to 7% for amount disbursed and 6% for the number of SMEs served, which is a quarter-to-quarter decline of 10% and 6% respectively. And I believe this is mainly due to the introduction of the MCO. But of course, after the third quarter, it did pick back up to 17% and 12% respectively as well.
Why did you see record issuance in November?
Actually, our amount disbursed month-on-month is actually growing on average 20% month-on-month. The reason being, especially from the third quarter this year onwards, reason being is, of course, as a business, our sales team are also adapting, right? So they're pivoting to using digital platforms to reach out to businesses and basically create more awareness about P2P and Fundestic as well. At the same time, I feel because of the MCO, a lot of businesses and individuals are either directly or indirectly being forced to move online, right? If they don't have a full digital business, they would have some sort of digital presence like a Facebook page or Instagram page anyway. So most of our most businesses, during these times have to or will have to go online. And that's where I think it clicked, right? Our sales team are online and then more businesses and more investors are online.
So is this an indication that SMEs are growing or they are just trying to get funds to just sustain themselves? Is this a story of economic growth or is it just about pure survival?
I think it's in the middle. It's not pure survival, especially for our business. They are just using it for working capital, right? Just to run their business, right? Not just basically just to maintain their business. Of course, we get some businesses as well that are letting us know that because of the current time, some businesses are closing down and they are taking the opportunity to actually buy over certain businesses. Right, small businesses, I'm not talking about big acquisitions, right? Like a small cafe or restaurant that wants to buy over another restaurant because they feel like it's a good opportunity or investment opportunity for them.
Are they finding it more difficult now to get loans from banks?
Yeah, definitely. I think banks, banks being banks, they have a lot of restrictions and policies in place where majority of these cash running businesses are unable to get financing from the banks.
As an investor, I would hesitate to invest via a P2P or peer-to-peer. Even if the returns are double digit, the risks are high. How would you convince a conservative investor like me?
There's always a perception that risks are high because you are lending to the SMEs in the countries and basically it's unsecured, right? But with P2P financing or P2P investments, the power of diversification is real, right? You can, as an investor, you can diversify your investment across as many SMEs. As long as our investors have diversified across a large portfolio of at least 100 notes, chances of losing money is pretty low. Most of our investors will normally set up the auto-invest feature called Smart Invest, where they basically key in their criteria that they want to invest in, and then the auto invest feature or smart invest will just automatically invest for them over a period, depending on how much funds they have in the Fundestic account.
I'm inclined to think a sole proprietor has a higher risk profile than a Sundrian Berhad. Why is it that sole proprietors form the bulk of your issuers and also the largest absolute increase this year from 2019?
This is basically our target segment. Fundestic targets basically the new businesses and the micro SMEs because mainly these are the businesses currently that are underserved by traditional financial institutions like the banks. And so this is where we are targeting. I believe majority of sole proprietors are having difficulty having access to financing. And this is why a majority of our or the bulk of entities in our Fundestic issuer base are sole proprietors.
But isn't it riskier? Because, you know, as a sole proprietor, it's just them, right? And maybe one or two staff. Whereas a Sundrian Berhad, it feels like there's more commitment, there's more investment on the part of the owner.
Yes, of course, it's we deem it definitely riskier. But that's why most likely if you're an investor in Fundestic for a while, you can see that sole proprietor normally carries the higher interest rate as well. So it's basically a risk-based pricing. The higher the risk, the higher the return.
How do you measure risk?
So we measure risk mainly on credit. We measure based heavily on credit. So basically, our system checks on the CCRIS, CTOS of the owners of the company and also the company itself. And there's basically an algorithm or credit engine in our system that determines the risk of each of these businesses. And then we designated a grade for a risk grade for them.
You know, all these things about checking people's credit worthiness through their social media posts and all that. Do you all do all that?
Yeah, not now, not at this moment in time, but something that actually we do want to explore using big data and maybe even telco data. To determine the credit behavior of certain businesses or certain individuals, maybe in certain industries, not all industries, but it's something that is that we can explore. I think it is readily available. It's just we probably either need to come up with a program for it or also their repayment behaviors with the telco, right?
The default rate appears low because Fundestic reschedules and restructures the loans so issuers can opt to pay smaller sums, like one-third less, back to investors. What's the percentage of your loans that had to be rescheduled this year?
Rescheduling services or R&R has only come about during the COVID or pandemic times or the MCO times because I believe Bank Negara have also given the 6 months moratorium as well, right? So out of our whole, at that time, our whole base of issuers, about 20% of our issuers actually picked up the, or took up some sort of R&R. So probably around August this year. Well, basically we've stopped giving up the R&R since August already.
And then, so what's the default rate now?
The default rate per annum is actually 2.8%. Actually, it has been decreasing this year. Two reasons why. Firstly, is because, because the R&R efforts did really help the issuers in terms of managing their cash flow. So they are still paying the investors, although, of course, the amount a bit lesser. But as long as they are committed to pay, that's a good sign. Secondly, we've also escalated our recovery efforts in 2020. So actually, in 2020 alone, we managed to recover about 14% of our defaulted amount already, as of today.
So 2.8% default rate is actually below industry standard if you include the banks. What do you put it maybe in your process to ensure that issuers are fulfilling their part of the bargain and paying up?
I think this is the beauty of our target segment, right? The micro and small businesses, and also keeping our ticket size or financing limit low. On average, our financing limit at this moment is around 70 to 80,000. They will definitely try to come back to pay us because for them, it's not worth being blacklisted or bankrupted over 70 to 100,000 ringgit. We submit to CTOS on a monthly basis. For all our issuers, even if they are on prompt or late or default, we are basically submitting similar to how the bank submit to CCRIS, right? So every month we'll submit these issuers, all our issuers, how are their repayments like month to month.
So like you mentioned, that your average issuer size is maybe about 70 to 80,000 ringgit, which is much lower than the industry average of 360,000 ringgit based on numbers provided in your yearly reports. Of course, I know some P2Ps, they do more big ticket items like funding societies. Is this a deliberate strategy on your part to just stick within this 70 to 80,000? And why is this a sweet spot for you?
Yes, definitely. Because firstly, these are really the SMEs that are really underserved by the banks. They've never gotten, before P2P came up, they've never gotten access to financing apart from using their personal credit card, friends and family or shadow banking, right? And also because of that, we know that the risk is there because, it's an untapped market. And that's why since day one, we've always stuck to our plan, which is to not provide more than 200,000 ringgit to these SMEs.
Is there a reason why 200,000 and say not 150,000 or 250,000 ringgit? Do you benchmark that number to something?
Not really, actually. It's just we feel like for banks, they don't really do unsecured lending to SMEs for 200,000 or less. Normally, it's more for banks, for SME banks. So that's where we put ourselves in.
On The Breakfast Grill, I'm speaking with Kelvin Fu, Acting CEO at Fundestic, the largest peer-to-peer platform in terms of number of issuers in Malaysia. We'll discuss the company's future after this. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back. I'm speaking to Kelvin Fu, Acting CEO at Fundestic, a peer-to-peer or P2P platform. Issuers can take up personal loans from banks. Why would they come to you for funding instead?
Probably the easiest one is the speed or the ease of getting the loan. The business owner can be at home and complete the full registration, application, signing of documents and receiving the funds in their bank account. The time to money as well is really fast. So on average, our time to money from application to receiving the funds is about 5 to 7 days. They don't mind paying maybe 2 to 3% more per annum, but receiving the cash much more quicker and easier.
Are you looking to shorten this time frame even further, like almost like, maybe 1 day or even 1 hour?
Actually, our approval process is only 10 minutes, actually. But of course, there are certain things that we need to do as well, right? Some verifications and all. So we are trying to streamline this. At the same time, we have our fundraising period on our platform is 10 days. So again, it also comes down to the investors as well, how quick they take up these notes. So it can be done. Actually, our record fundraising from registration all the way to disbursement to bank account is actually 3 days.
Is that in your mind to just make it very straight through processing? Like even a human being may not even have to open the file to take a look at the documents?
Yeah. There's a human being, but we don't put too much attention to it because of our target segment and we are in the volume game. We need speed. And because of our credit model has been proven, credit engine was built by one of our directors who was previously head of program lending in OCBC Bank. And that time, OCBC Bank was actually one of the banks that are servicing the most SMEs in the country, right? And most of them are using his credit engine or credit model. Of course, we tweak it a little bit to target the smaller segments or the smaller SMEs. We basically trust that model has been tried and tested already with the banks as well.
I understand the bulk of your loans are more than 3 years. So for investors who want to cash out earlier, and if they are qualified, they have the option of selling their notes in your secondary market. How liquid is that market though?
Actually, it's pretty liquid. It's just that not many investors are selling at the moment, right? But a lot of investors who are putting their notes or portfolio up for sale are being taken up, right? So there's about 360 over 1,000 ringgit have already been successfully traded in the secondary market. About 4,000 notes basically have been traded.
Do you foresee that one day maybe all the P2Ps will just merge their secondary markets together to form one giant market? Maybe there are already discussions about this or a proposal to the authorities?
The next thing to see is more P2P platforms coming up with their own secondary market. And then once it's all tried and tested, right, then probably consolidation will be the next step. But I don't see it anytime soon.
Looking at the US and UK, P2Ps have received their fair share of bad press. So the collapse of Lending Club, for example, in the US comes to mind. Funding Circle has lost about maybe 80% of its market valuation now. It seems like the future of P2Ps can look quite tricky. Why do you think this might be different in Malaysia?
All right, so two things. Firstly, we've been regulated since day one. Market size or the number of SMEs in Malaysia, majority of them are still very untapped by the banks or by even by P2P industry. I think we're barely scratching the surface. Based on SME Corp, right, there's about 900 over 1,000, probably a million over SMEs now. And I believe probably 80% of them are still underserved.
I think one way to prudently manage this is also, I think right now there are only 11 approved P2P lending platforms, right? So it probably makes sense to maybe control the number. In your mind, Malaysian market, how many P2Ps do you think we can actually support?
Even though there's 11 of us, I think all P2P platforms are providing different type of P2P products to the investors and also targeting slightly different target segments of SMEs as well. I believe definitely in the future there might be some consolidation.
So is Fundastic profitable yet?
Not at the moment. We were supposed to break even this year, but of course, because of the MCO and pandemic, it slowed us down. But we actually did ramp up a lot from July onwards, right? So we hope to actually break even by end of this year.
What do you see as the future of Fundastic?
We're already about 3.5 years in operation, right? And that means that we've already gone through a full credit cycle because majority of our investment notes are between the 24 months to 36 months tenure. And so after this full credit cycle, we feel that our business model is definitely working because our default rates are still below the expected rate. And actually, those investors, we've actually done an analyst or analysis of all our investors that have been investing with us since day one. And most of our investors are earning between 9 to 11% annualized return net of our defaults and net of our fees. So because of that, we actually definitely look to ramp up in 2021 and reach out to more SMEs in the country.
Well, there are a few P2Ps, and I know you say they focus on different parts, but inevitably, some issuers may go shopping, right?
Honestly, it's just a funding platform for them. But I think what we offer, the value that we offer them is basically the ease and the simplicity. I believe we are still the only platform that has the end-to-end credit evaluation model. So time to money, I feel, is definitely quicker on Fundastic, but also maybe because of our financing limit is small, unlike other platforms where they're doing larger limits where they probably need to do more evaluation and things like that.
So in the long term, in the business plan and going beyond COVID-19, the pandemic, what are some key options are you looking at in your business plan? For example, listing on the ACE market, applying for a digital banking license, maybe down the road, or sell out to a financial institution, or maybe launch the Islamic investment notes. Which ones looks most probable in your 5 to 10 year business plan?
I think you 3 out of 4 you name are probably already in our plans. And when that happens, you will definitely know.
Are you very keen on the Islamic investment notes market?
Probably not at the moment. I think conventional is still our bread and butter for now.
It's not a natural market for you, or it's a market that's harder to understand because obviously you might be reaching out to Muslim investors?
Yes, and also operational-wise, we probably need to do some restructuring on getting a Shara-compliant department and things like that. So there are a lot of investments as well on the platform to move to Islamic. So basically our target is still to reach out to our target segments, our original target segments, which we know that is still there, right? It's just the issue now, or the challenge is now just reaching to them, making them aware about P2P financing and also having trusting P2P financing. So after that, probably then we might then explore Islamic.
Thank you so much for your time. Kelvin Fu, Acting CEO of Fundastic. I'm Noel Lim on BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.